Welcome to the deep dive. If you lead an organization, or if you're just interested in how the highest performing leaders operate today, I have a premise for you. And it should be a little alarming. The pace of change has totally redefined what a successful CEO even looks like. That old model, the heroic, all-knowing leader at the top of the
It's a
pyramid.
long genius.
Exactly. That model isn't just outdated anymore. It's actively dangerous to the health of your organization.
It is dangerous. It's dangerous because that whole model assumes one person can somehow keep up with everything.
Right.
And we're talking about a world where AI transformation, geopolitical chaos, shifting demographics, all these things are challenging every single belief we had about strategy.
So a leader trying to tackle that all alone isn't being strong. They're basically guaranteeing failure through what? Cognitive overload?
Precisely. Cognitive overload.
Absolutely. So our source material today is this urgent alert from CEO World Magazine. It's called the 2026 Alert: Key Trends Every CEO Must Know.
Written by Leo Bottery. It's a real wake-up call.
It is. And our mission for this deep dive is to unpack why surrounding yourself with a disciplined group of peers isn't some luxury perk anymore. It's a strategic necessity.
The key insight, really, is that competitive advantage has shifted. It's not just about capital or talent. It flows directly from your learning speed.
Learning speed.
Yeah. If your organization learns slower than the market changes, you're done. You just fall behind instantly. And the CEO forum, according to this analysis, is the shortcut. It's the most effective way to accelerate that curve.
Okay, let's unpack that because the sheer scale of the challenges executives are facing as we head into 2026 is, it's just staggering. These are not small headwinds.
No, these are complete structural resets. And that leads us to the first big conclusion from the source. The pace of change has officially outrun individual intelligence.
Even for the most brilliant CEO.
Doesn't matter how brilliant, you cannot have the depth you need across all the critical areas in this 24/7 global cycle. It's impossible.
So let's nail down a few of these. I mean, things that were barely on the radar a decade ago. Let's start with AI governance and ethics.
Oh, that's a perfect example.
It's not just about writing some internal policy, right? It's about taking ownership, legal and moral ownership, for these autonomous systems that are now baked into everything.
And that fundamentally changes the risk profile of the entire company. And
Yeah.
it's changing what, every quarter?
At least. Okay, so you have that. Then you have the multi-generational workforce
Yes, five distinct cohorts all at once.
with completely different values about loyalty, work, communication, everything.
You have leaders trying to bridge the gap between, say, quiet quitting on one side and hustle culture on the other. How do you motivate both without alienating one? It's a daily calibration.
Then you add the operational stuff on top, like global supply chains that are just reconfiguring in real time.
It's not about predicting a disruption anymore. It's about managing constant volatility.
And cybersecurity risks, which are just, they're exponential now.
Right. And then the final tightrope. Customers demand intense personalization.
They want you to know everything about them.
But if you cross that privacy line, even by a little bit, the backlash is instant and catastrophic.
So that is an impossible workload for a single human brain. It's just too much.
It is. And that's the cognitive load problem the article highlights. No single executive have the time, let alone the depth or breadth, to master all of this and then synthesize it into a coherent strategy.
So this is where the forum comes in as a structural solution.
Exactly. It distributes that cognitive load. It's like an instant access pool of expertise. But, and this is a key distinction, it is not a casual networking group.
Right, it's not golf and cocktails.
Not at all. It's disciplined, it's structured, and it's all about genuine problem solving.
So instead of a CEO spending, say, 6 months trying to figure out a big acquisition.
They walk into the forum, they present their specific problem, and boom. In that room, they instantly access the cumulative experience of maybe six other leaders who've done 50 of these deals between them.
And they hear about the failures too, the unfiltered stuff.
That's the most crucial part. It compresses what would be 6 months of high-cost internal work into a two-hour conversation.
So they leave with clarity. The puzzle becomes solvable because the group makes those blind spots visible.
It just accelerates the learning curve in a way an internal team never could, because the stakes for being honest are lower and the diversity of thought is so much higher.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting for me, because to learn that fast, you need something that feels, well, it feels totally counterintuitive to that old heroic leader model.
Vulnerability.
Vulnerability. The source pivots right to it and calls psychological safety a genuine strategic asset.
And this is based on decades of research.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Amy Edmondson's work. It's proven that psychological safety is a performance driver.
It's not some soft skill for an HR seminar.
No, it's the lubricant for innovation. The companies that thrive in high-risk situations are the ones where people feel safe enough to speak up, to disagree, to admit a mistake.
But just think about the bubble a CEO lives in. It's total isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Every word is scrutinized. Information is filtered on its way up to them. And if they admit uncertainty to their board,
it can be seen as weakness, a fatal flaw.
So that kind of environment makes authentic, high-stakes personal growth almost impossible to do internally.
It does. Which is why the High Trust Forum, with its strict confidentiality, becomes one of the only safe harbors out there.
It's the one place a leader can actually say, I'm not sure, or I really messed up that last product launch, and they're not judged.
They're supported, and they're challenged, but constructively. So the forum becomes this laboratory for leadership behavior.
A laboratory. I like that. They're not just talking about candor. They're actually modeling it.
They are. And that modeling has this incredible ripple effect. When you, as a CEO, watch a peer you respect just openly dissect a failure. I mean, walk through every step that led to it.
It completely changes your own definition of what strength looks like.
It does. You start to see that vulnerability, when it's done right, is actually a power move. And that's the behavior you then take back to your own company. That's how you start building a culture of psychological safety for everyone else.
Okay, so let's shift from that internal mindset to external results. Let's talk about accountability. We usually think of it as top-down, you know, maybe even punitive.
Right.
But the source argues that peer accountability is way more effective than hierarchical accountability.
Yeah, and this is where you see the huge difference between, say, compliance and real commitment.
What do you mean?
Well, accountability from your board or your C-suite, that often just produces compliance. You do the task because you have to avoid getting in trouble.
But peer accountability, that taps into something much deeper, the desire not to let down people you trust and respect.
That's the commitment factor. When a CEO stands up in front of that group and commits to doing something hard, like cutting a division or making a huge cultural change, the follow-through rate just skyrockets.
The pressure comes from mutual respect, not fear. But let me play devil's advocate for a second. Doesn't that just create a different kind of anxiety? You're just replacing fear of the boss with fear of disappointing your friends.
That's a fair question. And the answer is, in the structure of a high-performing forum, it's not about judgment, it's about clarity and support. The other members understand the context better than an outside board ever could.
So they're not following up to punish?
No, they're following up to ask, what help do you need to get that done? And that's what makes the commitment stick.
And that speed and commitment obviously create a huge strategic advantage.
Of course. But beyond just execution, the forum addresses what might be the single greatest risk for a CEO long term: isolation.
Which isn't just an emotional thing. It's strategically dangerous.
It's incredibly dangerous because it narrows your perspective. It creates cognitive tunnel vision.
Right. When things get uncertain, our instinct is to retreat into what we know.
Precisely. And if the only people you talk to are the people who already work for you, who already agree with you, you are actively blinding yourself at the very moment you need the most peripheral vision.
And in 2026, with ideas and threats moving at the speed of light, that tunnel vision is a death sentence.
So the forum acts as this strategic lifeline. It forces you to be exposed to a real diversity of thought. You have leaders from totally different industries, different countries.
And that smashes the tunnel vision.
It does. Because often the solution to your manufacturing problem comes from a peer in, like financial services, who solved a similar complexity problem. It forces you to get your assumptions challenged.
Assumptions an internal team would never dare to question.
Because they're paid to reinforce the status quo. That cross-pollination of ideas is the real competitive edge. It's more valuable than any team of internal consultants.
And all this strategic advantage, it leads to the final benefit the analysis talks about, which is maybe the most profound. It's about legacy.
CEOs are thinking differently now. It's less about the next quarter and more about, what values am I building? What kind of leaders am I creating?
And the source says the forum strengthens that legacy in three really specific ways. The first one is pretty straightforward. You just make better decisions today.
Right. You avoid unforced errors. You pursue clearer strategies because they've been vetted by people you trust.
The second is you develop better leaders tomorrow. The CEO brings back those habits, discipline, listening, curiosity, real accountability, and that ripples through the whole company.
And the third way is the most personal. It helps them become a better version of themselves. The growth they experience in that confidential space is often the most profound of their careers.
And they need that because modern leadership is all about balancing these massive tensions, right?
Huge tensions. Stakeholders demand you balance performance with purpose.
Speed with sustainability.
Innovation with responsibility. It's a constant balancing act.
It is. A constant high-stakes calibration. And a peer forum forces you to look past the immediate pressure of the quarter and weigh your decisions against that bigger legacy.
It's the mirror you need. It's the sounding board that helps you stay grounded in the long view instead of just reacting to short-term noise.
Which brings us to what might be the most vital function of all, just creating space to think.
That's the capstone of the whole argument. The entire modern world, the notifications, the 24-hour news cycle, it all rewards reactivity.
Instant response. Fire off the email now.
Exactly. We're trained for it. But the truly legacy-defining decisions, the ones that determine the next 10 years of success,
yeah,
those can't be made in reaction.
They require reflection. They require processing time.
And so the CEO Forum isn't just an advisory group. It's a mandated slowdown. It's a structure that carves out protected space for that deep reflection. And without that structure, reaction always wins.
So to summarize our whole deep dive here, disruption isn't stopping. The leadership challenges of 2026 are immense, but CEOs don't have to face them alone.
The high-performing forum has become a non-negotiable strategic advantage. It's where leaders learn at the speed of change, where they develop clarity, and where they gain the confidence they need to lead in this uncertain world.
It's the difference between just reacting to the market
and thoughtfully, deliberately shaping the future you want to leave behind.
And that brings us to our final thought for you to mull over. If the entire pace of modern business constantly rewards rapid reaction and instant replies, how often are you creating structured, protected, and safe space? Not just to exchange information, but to truly slow down and reflect on the decisions that will define your own long-term success or legacy. Something to think about.